Here's the disclaimer for today's message. You know, I've been in ministry a long time, and it didn't take me many years into it to realize that Christmas is for kids, and it is really not a joyful experience for a lot of adults. Anyone want to say amen? You can. And it seems that our Christmases are getting longer and longer since they start before November starts now. But I've learned that over the years because I've the hopes and fears of all the years seem to come home to roost, literally, during the Christmas season. And from Thanksgiving to Christmas, so many families have issues. And every family's got one of them in them that you just don't really want to deal with too much, I would think. And if your family doesn't have that person in it, then you're probably it. But I deal with people who have gone through divorces and widows and widowers. And I always remember my grandmother died on Christmas Day. And for, gosh, I don't know, 15 years of my grandfather, every Christmas he was sick because of the day. So the disclaimer for this message has to do with the fact that we've all survived this Christmas, and I want to talk, this is group counseling for all of us here. This may not apply to you today, but I venture to say that at some point in time it will. And so it's not really a downer message, but it's one that's a sobering message. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you use me today to speak to all of us in terms of how we manage our lives when we have, well, events happen to us that are tragic in nature or devastating in nature. And I ask that you let this insight sink into us in Jesus' name. Amen. I do a lot of counseling with people, too, over the years. Last couple of years, and especially this fall, actually, we've seen a large number of disasters that have occurred around the place. Some are natural, some are man-made, but some are very evil. I'm referring to things like the tsunamis that took place over in Indonesia a few years ago. Japan, when they had their earthquake and it ruined their nuclear thing, and they had all that going on. I think about earthquakes that have happened in California and Japan, and I think about the hurricanes, and my son just moved to New Orleans, and of course Katrina went through there 10 years ago and just devastated the whole Gulf Coast at that point in time. But then they had BP come along and they had the oil spill, and that changed things as well. We've just had the incident in California where the Muslims, God bless them, decided they were going to kill some people. We had Paris and all the tragedy that went with that. And just right in our neighborhood and in Missouri, and the floods that have occurred down the Mississippi River and just devastated people's homes and everything else. Those shootings that take place in schools, or that movie theater that happened a few years ago, and should we ever forget 2001, 9/11. I've been watching these events, and how they cause trauma to people, how they affect people who are very close to those events. And so today, I just want to talk about these events that happened to us. I want to talk about cataclysmic events, how they affect us. There are two kinds of cataclysmic events. There are large disasters on a worldwide scale that you can hear in the news, and they'll tell you all about it. And there are large disasters on an individual scale. I call them 9/11 on a small scale, but they're not small to the people that occurs to them. Whenever I give a talk on the banquet weekend, especially the Sacramental Grace talk, I talk about it. These events that happen in people's lives, they're disasters. Now, whether we're talking about a large disaster like a flood that's going on right now, or an individual disaster, a cataclysmic event on an individual scale that disrupts your personal world, such as divorce. I've dealt with people who have gone through divorces, death of a spouse, And at Christmas time, widows and widowers, and they go through all the death of a child or a parent that is very special to you, or loss of a job after 20 years. Maybe it's a severe illness such as a heart attack or cancer in your family. Problems with kids that are life-changing. Even empty nest syndrome, that's where the kids move away. And it's an event that is cataclysmic for some parents. I want to raise up six things that I've observed from people who have been in cataclysmic events, such as earthquakes or floods or evil disasters like we just heard about in Paris. And these six things, I think about the pastors and the counselors that go into these places after all these events occurred. I say, thank God it's not me doing that, because I've done it on an individual scale so many times. There's six things that we can recognize about ourselves in these kinds of events of our lives as well. The first thing is this. You can be suffering from trauma. That is, you can be wounded more than you care to admit or even realize. Now, since the damage from trauma emotionally or psychologically doesn't show, we don't recognize it in ourselves and we don't understand it in other people as well. Now, if the cataclysmic event was an earthquake, you know, it affects a lot of people. But if it's the death of spouse or your parent or a child or a loved one, or it's through divorce or illness or surgery or loss of job, it's personal to you, maybe those who are close to you, such as family. The first thing is this, that sometimes we have to admit that we are traumatized. We're damaged more than we thought or care to admit. How do you tell if you're traumatized? Let me give you an example from earthquake victims. For people who've gone through a major earthquake, it comes in the aftershocks. If you went through the big quake, then all these strong aftershocks scare you irrationally. People in an aftershock may be just fine, but when the shaking starts, they go crazy on the inside and sometimes on the outside. They are damaged more than they thought. Personal catastrophes are like earthquakes as well. A person who has had an operation for cancer or serious illness is gun-shy then of any little disturbance in their physical health. They get stampeded by little things because they think, well, God, it could be the big one coming back. People who lose a loved one get jittery over others that they love dying as well. Divorced people, if they remarry, a lot of them are very gun-shy about keeping a new marriage. There's always that place in the back of their mind, will this end up like the last one? As I say, I do a lot of counseling with people. It's the little stuff. It has to do with the psychological effect of things. It's not that we're a bunch of cripples emotionally, but don't make the mistake that any of us are better than we really are. And after big events, they bring in the psychologists and they brought in to deal with the trauma of whatever's happened. But life goes on. Things have to get started again. And so people start to pull their lives back together. But there's an illusion that people see. It's the illusion that a person who has suffered severe trauma from a personal earthquake have it all together. And it's all behind them. They are over it. In fact, we try to say it to ourselves. Well, I'm over this now. I have to be, must get on with things. And so we do. But in the midst of the cleanup, things can hit you pretty hard. Let me use an earthquake picture as an example. Person is cleaning up after an earthquake and the big stuff has been mostly taken care of, but one day this person finds a broken ceramic figurine that was very special to her that was given to her by her mother. There it is, it's shattered, and memories just fly And along with the figurine is a shattered treasure. And she finds most of the pieces. She glues it back together, but there are little pieces that are missing. And there are cracks. It will never be the same. If you don't look too close, it looks okay, but don't look too close. It's kind of like us. You might look okay, but don't look too close. Memories are shattered that are shattered in a personal disaster. When people go through these earthquakes in their lives, they can clean up the big stuff in terms of job and house and larger parts of life. But it's the little things that rip into us. And we aren't expecting it a lot of times. We need to understand there are a lot of cracks and chips in us that need to be recovered or refilled or renewed or rebuilt. And we will race along with our lives, but it will snag us in all kinds of little ways. So the first thing, number one, is realize that we may be traumatized more than we realized or even care to admit. Therefore, let me give you a scripture to help dealing with personal trauma in personal cataclysmic events. Read with me Jude 20 and 21. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, we need to understand that there are chinks and cracks that only the Spirit of God can renew in our emotions and our memories and our spirits. We may not even be aware of it, of what it is, just tiny little plates here and there that need to be refilled or glued back together. What heals the human spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But healing doesn't happen just overnight either. The second thing is this. With cataclysmic events, and I watch this stuff on the news, and and I wonder about the people who are the counselors and the people who are going through it. What with cataclysmic events comes the confusion of the mind. Just as in an earthquake, a house may suffer a great shaking or a tornado and it's gone, and a figurine may be something that it of your heart, your emotions, your memory, that little keepsake represents your heart. But let's say that there's a room in that house that is like a study, a library, kind of like our minds. See, it's not just our hearts, it's our minds as well. After an earthquake, you walk into the study, that library, there are books everywhere, and those are like jumbled thoughts, mass confusion in your mind. One of the things that can happen in a cataclysmic event on a personal scale is that all the books of your mind, you might say, can be thrown everywhere, and you have to bring some order back into things. Your knowledge of life is thrown all around and comes crashing down off the shelves of your mind. When you begin to sort your thoughts out, you might say the books in the library of your life, you discover all kinds of things. Some you haven't looked at for years and years. You find that there are things that deal with human suffering, that there are other people out there that have been through suffering as well. I notice that every time I have a surgery, they come out of the woodwork with people who have had the same surgery. You might even find in your library of your mind that Bible that has been gathering dust in the midst of the disorder. You may discover that your suffering is small compared to somebody else, but it's yours. As you put your thoughts in order, you may discover a newspaper in your library describes somebody else who is going through trauma from an event that is similar to yours. You may find that what happens with other people is bringing a perspective into your life as well. You may discover that there are others that are a great deal worse off than you are. A second thing in cataclysmic events is bringing order into your thoughts, the library of your mind, and discovering others who have suffered as well. Let me give you a scripture for this. Read with me Romans chapter 12, verses 12, 13, 15, and 16. Here we go. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be prideful, but associate with the humble. That last phrase would be, do not be wise in your own opinion. Now, there, if you look at them, there's a sermon wrapped up in every one of those phrases, but the bottom line is this. It is a humble reminder that in the midst of your personal disasters, the catastrophes of your life, that there are other people out there who are suffering as much, if not more, than you. And the other thing is to focus on the blessings of God. Most of the time, we don't count our blessings. And the reason we don't count our blessings is because they're very quiet. They don't cause us any trouble. Therefore, we forget about our blessings. We only recognize the bad things that happen to us because they shout at us. Consider the divine intervention of grace and how it unfolds even in the midst of your turmoil or your disaster or your disorder. This scripture gives us focus that we are free to rejoice with those who rejoice, and it's okay to weep with those who weep, and that we are a child of God who experiences grace even in the midst of our sufferings. So be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In cataclysmic events, the third thing is we have to learn new pathways of living. One thing that is readily apparent, if you listen to the news and you watch things, when it comes to hurricanes and floods and earthquakes, the floods especially in the Midwest, back in 1993, some of you are old enough to remember 93, it looked like an inland sea right down the center of the United States. In the floods, I think about it, even in Paris, all the ways that things have changed in terms of the way people get around. Many roads are closed. The normal pathways of conducting the business of life are closed. During these floods, whole roads are drowned out, you might say, washed out. Bridges are gone. In Paris, think about that. All the traffic in the area of those attacks, streets were closed, they're ruined. So people in cataclysmic events lose their way. They don't know how to get to where they're going. The daily things of life change. Cataclysmic events on an individual scale do the same thing to people. As I said, I've done a lot of counseling over the years. I've seen a lot of things. You can watch it on TV, but I've seen it on an individual level. Loss of job, retirement, divorce, serious illness, death of loved ones. You can put your own tragedy or your own upheaval in your life right here, but people get up in the morning and they say, I don't know what to do today. I don't know how to get to where I'm going. In fact, where am I going? In earthquakes and floods, roads are closed and torn up and people can't go their normal way. In cataclysmic events that happen in our lives, we have to find new roadways, new pathways to get where we're going, to conduct the business of our lives. When a person is divorced, they have to find new roads, new pathways of living. When a person loses their job, they have to find a new road, a new way to make a living. A person or people that suffer large tragedies, earth-shattering events, may still live in the same place, and they may still deal with the same things, but they can't use the same pathways that they used to use because they're closed. They're no longer there. Think about these people in these floods areas that we've seen. Think about people that have gone through earthquakes and things like that. How about the BP oil spill down on the Gulf? People had to find new roads to get things done, ways that were still open. So for a while, they become pioneers again, discovering new pathways of living. It's not an easy thing. People who suffer cataclysmic events have to find new pathways. And the thing about new pathways in the midst of life-changing experiences of our lives is that we may have known of their existence all along. We just never used those roads before, those pathways. We also may never have taken a good look at them either. When we're dealing with dramatic events of our lives, we're going to be going down new ways. New roads, new pathways that may have been there all along, but we just never used them before. In the cataclysmic events of your life, our lives, we're forced to drive down new ways to take care of the business of our lives. Now, this is important. Let me give you a scripture that really lights your way. Read with me Psalm 119, verse 105. Now, if you read all of Psalm 119, it talks about the use of Scripture in terms of building our lives and living our lives. What it seems like, because do you know the truth? We're all living on borrowed time, and we're standing on shaky ground. And all of Psalm 119 speaks about the power of the Bible to help us along the pathways of life. But let's read verse 105, which we're all familiar with. Here we go. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and to a light to my path. The scriptures will give guidance as you discover new pathways of living. Think about it. It's a light to where you are right now, but it also gives you light for the new directions that you have to go. A light for your feet, a light for your path in the dark. When you're looking to make new roads. Number four, people in cataclysmic events suffer from despair. I do a lot of counseling with people. Despair is an issue that comes up on a regular basis. Despair settles onto people in tragedy, and disaster is like a fog. In a fog, you can't see where you're going or where you have been or where you are. The despair is because there is a death that is involved in some form or fashion. Something has died or someone has died. In a divorce, the marriage dies. In the loss of job or retirement, that part of a person's life dies. A person's sense of worth and purpose dies with it. In an actual death of a loved one, the despair is not having that person around anymore. Despair is caused by the death of something, and it goes something like this. Is there going to be any kind of life for me after this divorce? Is there life after my wife, my husband, my child, my parent has died? Despair is the loss of hope. Even faith goes into hibernation in the winter of death, and people in tragedy keep busy, at least for a while. They are busy picking up their lives or what's left of their lives, and they do it out of necessity. But even as they are doing it, they are going dead on the inside because of despair. That's the loss of hope. No hope of life after tragedy. They're focusing on the muck and mire in which they find themselves. You take care of your responsibilities, the usual ones, and also the ones that are created by the event. You deal with the things of getting by, but there's another thing that comes with the despair, and it is fear. And it relates back to the original trauma. It is fear of being in places, situations, where the trauma occurred, or the crisis came to a head, or actually exploded, places where the cataclysmic tragedy of your life took place. You know, people in earthquakes don't like to be in places where they experience that quake. people in who have been through a hurricane, well, you know, it's possible that one's going to come back. And there's a sense of dread about places where they were affected by that traumatic event. The scene of an accident. The place where you used to work. The ex-wife or husband's house. You don't even like to look at those places, let alone be near those places. The person who is in an auto accident and won't drive anymore or is gun shy about cars. I remember when I got T-boned one time. It took me about 6 months, a year, and I'm still there. I make sure I stop at stoplights and look, because I don't want it to happen again. People who come to church, but there was a relationship between the death of the loved one and the church, and so, or if it's divorce. I always ask the question when a divorce occurs, who gets the church in the divorce settlement? There are vivid reminders that bring dread and despair, and we fear those places. Now, I don't have a specific scripture for this despair except to tell you to read the end of all the Gospels. You see, the despair that is seen in the disciples at the death of Jesus, to look upon a cross without hope, is a despair of a cataclysmic event that occurred to those disciples. Without the hope of the resurrection, we would all be in despair, much to be pitied. Where does healing come from in the despair of hurricanes and floods and tornadoes and earthquakes and the tragedies, the earth-shaking events of our lives? I think it is to bring yourself into the presence of God somehow in the event. I think that in those places where the cataclysmic events on a personal scale take place, you have to somehow get to God. Because that's how you bring meaning into the meaninglessness of the disaster. I think there are three ways we can get to God in those places where the event took place. One is through song. Song is the language of the heart. You know, if you listen to the right music, it does things for you. If you listen to the wrong music, it does things for you. It's not always easy to sing in the midst of death, but you can listen to it. Second is through Scripture, which has to do with the language of your mind, which brings light, the light of God, into dark places, the dark spot in your life. Third thing has to do with worship, and that is it. Worship is actually getting into the presence of God so that the Holy Spirit can regenerate, renew, restore, resurrect parts of you that have been involved in the event. You let the life of God enter into a death situation of your life. Fifth thing that I see in cataclysmic events, and I've seen some of those with people like you, people that I've been friends with, is we focus on the problem rather than the promises of God or His blessings. We always do it. We all do this. I do it all the time. You focus on the problem rather than God's promises and blessings. You know, after the earthquake, after these floods are over, and I'm sure it will be the same this time, I'm sure they'll do it in Paris too. They'll talk to people, they go up, they meet them, and they, you know, and the media comes in. Oh, don't you love them? Well, now, that things are moving along, and how are you managing your life? How are you getting along in this situation? We ask the same questions of people who suffer individual cataclysmic events too. Well, now that your divorce is final, how are you getting along? It's been 6 weeks since your cancer surgery. How you doing? Are you doing okay? And we focus on the problem rather than on the promises of God. We don't ask, how is God blessing you these days? How's God talking to you through this stuff? It's just normal. It's not bad. It's just the way we are. I do it too. You focus in on the problems rather than on the what's going on. Besides that, we need to be right. There are blessings of God that are taking place in our lives all the time. There is hope in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of death. By the way, how many of you like the idea of Jesus coming again? Everybody for that? Have you read the book? Because when he said when he came, there would be earthquakes, there would be floods, there would be wars and rumors of wars, there would be all kinds of hell breaking loose all over the place as the signs of his coming. I bet if you ask the people out there in Paris or in California or these flooded victims down through the Midwest or the quakes that happen in the Himalayas or whatever, and he would say that Jesus is coming, yeah, they don't like the second part of it, though. The bad stuff that happens. They like the promise, but they could do without the problem, especially when it happens to you. It's what kind of like when somebody's going in for minor surgery. I said, yeah, maybe minor to me and the doctor, but it isn't minor to you. We need to focus on the hope in Jesus in the midst of despair. Number six, and this is the one we really need to, we live by grace. And it is by grace that we are blessed. All the rest is illusion. We have no guarantee against future assaults on our peace. We have no guarantee against the cataclysmic events that come our way. We are living on borrowed time and we are standing on shaky ground, and therefore you and I need to anchor ourselves more firmly than ever to Jesus and the foundation that he is. Read with me Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. This life that you live and I live is all a matter of grace. Only a fool thinks that he can save himself. How should we live? Well, we should live soberly. That is, we should think about it. We should understand. We should consider God's hand in everything, literally everything, realizing that our foundations can be shaken at any time by events that come upon us. Such as an earthquake or the evil act of someone raising hell in a town like Paris or out in California, or when the Twin Towers fell on 9/11 in 2001. Or the divorce that hits us. Or the visit to the doctor that gives us the news of a life-threatening condition. Or the pink slip when we show up at work. Or the person killed in an auto accident. We live on borrowed time, and we are standing on shaky ground, and to live our lives wisely, we need to count our blessings and be aware that our true foundation is Jesus Christ in all things, good and bad. We have no guarantee on anything in this world. It is only a matter of grace. You know, it doesn't take an 8.5 earthquake on the Richter scale. All it takes is a phone call. And things can become very earth-shaking in your life. All it takes is a phone call. We have this illusion of safety that clouds our thinking. We think we control our lives, but we don't. Grace is what keeps us afloat. Earthquakes have their unique effect on people. So do floods. So do hurricanes and tornadoes. So does bankruptcy. So does an evil act of terror. So does divorce or loss of job or death of a loved one. Or that even the empty nest when kids leave and go off and leave the house. Some people are devastated. There are personal disasters. There are widespread disasters. There always will be. What manner of people are we to be in this life? We should be people whose foundation is Jesus Christ, so that we have the strength, the foundation, even to to weather the trouble, the tribulation, and the storms of life that we all face sooner or later in varying degrees. And if you have not ever had a devastating period of time in your life, then bless you, but your day's coming. Jesus said in Matthew, let's read it together. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Whether we're talking about actual earthquakes, or whether we're talking about floods in the Midwest right now, or our own personal earthquakes, or our own personal cataclysmic events, it is in those times that we need to be sure that our foundation is earthquake-proof and flood-proof. It's rock, not sand, and that foundation is Jesus. For all of us who live on borrowed time and stand on shaking ground in this world. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of our lives, and sometimes as we look upon what's happening around us in the world, it brings us to a place where we concern ourselves and consider our lives and the grace that we live in. May it be so this day, in Jesus' name, amen.